Little bit of a different message this morning because I wanted to summarize a lot of what we've been talking about over the last few months. September, we said, was all going to be about vision. October, we said, was all going to be about structure. And November was going to be about culture. We were going to look at what we believed and why we believed that, and that would shape a lot of what we do. And then out of that, we would then begin to look at reevaluating and just looking back and celebrating what's gone on. Okay, so let's start right at the beginning. September, we've got a really warm welcome from you guys, and we thank you so much for that. I know when there's a change in leadership, it can be awkward, and it can be weird, and it can be strange, especially if you don't know us. A lot of you guys do know us through the Forge Ministry School, and some of you know us from serving in Portsmouth, but I'm conscious that there was also quite a few people that didn't know who we were. So I just want to say on behalf of me and Sarah, thank you so much for welcoming us and embracing us as part of your church family. And we're going to continue to hopefully grow that and deepen that as time goes forward. Okay, so thank you. So moving on from that, we had a real kind of, you may have noticed that there was a real need for momentum in what we were doing. Now, for me personally, the way that I'm wired is that I'm a person of action. I can't sit and watch. I need to do something. And so when I'm operating in ministry, that's exactly the same. I have that same principle that I need to be a person of action. So with that, we did make a lot of changes throughout September. Even though some of them were quite small, we were preparing things that would be happening in October. You saw the layout change and things like that happen, and that was all good. And then we also then put the teams in place, and we made the structure a little bit more visible, and that's still developing and growing over time as well. But we made a few changes and a few tweaks, some big, some small, in order to set us in that place of momentum so we can begin to create the change that we wanted to see, not just short term, but long term. And then we slowed down the pace a little bit in November, because we then started to actually then begin to look at what it is that we've created, what it is that we've changed, what it is that we've done. Have we done this together, or are we doing it on our own? Are we on the same journey, or are we not? Let's talk about it. And we ended up having a good look at some of those real cultural elements to what we consider normal. Because it's one thing for me to have that expectation of what I think is normal. It could be something completely different for you. And so that's what I'm conscious of, is that we all have the same definition of normal. All right? That's the goal, is that we all have the same definition of normal. And that is what culture develops, and that is what culture dictates. However, if we're going to do that, we need to talk about it. If culture can either be set by default, or it can be set on purpose. Amen? Culture can either be set by default, or it can be set on purpose. We choose which one we experience. Now, for me, I know what it's like to be in a culture that's been set by default, and I know what it's like to be set in a culture that's been done on purpose. And so if I want to encourage all of you to be culture setters wherever you go. And now, if you are part of the family, church family, and if you're part of this congregation, then you would be accepting the culture as your own, and you would be helping to enforce that culture. That would mean that we're growing all in the same direction, okay? And that hinges and reflects on what we believe. Moving into December, it's been a little bit of a different month because obviously Christmas is coming and things like that, but I just wanted to pause this morning and really begin to look back and actually celebrate what God has done, but also what you have done, all right? So let's take a look at the first slide, please, if that's okay. Now, next year, we're going to be focusing in on growth. The title of my message this morning is not growth, the title of my message is this: Have you tied your shoes? Ask the person next to you, have you tied your shoes? Now, you may be super, I'm trying to work out where I'm supposed to go with this. You might be super trendy and not have any laces on your shoes or the need to tie them. But there is a way that your shoes are secured to your feet, yes? Either through elastic or some stringy bit, you know. There's a way that your shoes are connected and attached to your feet. The reason why I ask you, have you tied your shoes, is because if you do not tie your shoes, it won't be long before your shoes come off. Right? If you are on a journey, your journey, it's like a journey, just slightly different. If you are on a journey and your shoes come off, your journey can be cut short. And I don't think any one of us want our journey cut short. But we need to make sure that we're securing the shoes that we're wearing. I'm going to come back to that in a bit. Now, if we're committed to the journey that we're on, then the journey that we're on requires growth. Anything that is alive grows. Anything that has life in it organically grows. So what we have to make sure of is that we have the right kind of life and we're giving life to the right stuff so the right stuff grows. Amen? So let's go to the second slide, please. Right. So coming into the church, this is what we had to establish. And that was a team structure or a breakdown of the life of the church. And you can see here, just quickly by this graph, I can't believe I'm doing graphs in church. I never thought I'd be that person. I'm sorry, I am that person now. All right. So the setup team currently has the most amount of people, which is cool. But then you could also see that some of the other teams, that discipleship and things like that, and pastoral care, have got some of the lower amount of team members. And so you can see here that the life of the church is kind of, is still developing. It's still growing, but you can see where the strong points are and where the not so strong points are. And so I think it's really important for all of us to be able to have this visual so we can begin to have a healthy understanding of where we are and where we're going. Let's go to the next one, please. So this is a really encouraging statistic. So the weekly average number of attendees in church in Waterlooville is 70 people. Amen? That's great. Could be better, but it's great. Really great. So let's have a look at this. So this is kind of a week breakdown. You can see there we had a little bit of a spike here. And this, I was thinking about this during worship, and I was thinking this statement came to my mind. Faithfulness lasts longer than excitement. So when excitement wears off, that's where faithfulness begins. So what we have to make sure of in our walk with God and the church is that we're not relying on our excitement, because it will wear off. But what happens after that is then we say, okay, well, now I have to decide whether I'm going to be excitement-led or faithfulness-driven. So we have to make sure that we're all walking in faithfulness, in step with each other, so we can keep going and that we're not relying on external stimuli, so we can keep going no matter what happens. Amen? Okay, let's go to the next one, please. So looking at this, obviously, this average of 70% or 70 people attendance a week, which is awesome, that makes me think about, okay, well, what's the interaction like for that? Okay, let's go to the next slide, please. So this is the newsletter breakdown across Family Church, okay? So you can see here that the open rate for Waterlooville, okay, is not the highest, as you can see across the board there. But if we go to the next one, you can see this is like the performance rate over the year. But you can see that even though our open rate is not massive, our click rate on the inside of the email is actually quite high, which is awesome. So for those who do open the email, interact with what's inside it. For those who don't, have a chat with the Lord. All right, let's go to the next slide, please. Thank you very much. So this is interesting. This is something research I was doing the other week, and on a statistic level or on a church health analytics of the nation, 20 to 30% of people in church are involved in the life of the church, okay? So if you have, I'm not going to do the math because I'll mess it up, but you get my point. 20 to 30% of the church is involved in the running and the life of the church, okay? And that means they're either on the worship team, kids' church team, ministry team, hospitality, tech, outreach, whatever it is, in whatever area of life or area of church life they're in, 20, 30% of the church are involved. That means 70 to 80% of people are just watching. That's a big number, right? It's also a little bit sad. But that's the reality, and that's the church norm across this nation. Now, I don't like the fact that that is what is called normal. However, that is at the moment the reality. Let's go to the next slide, please. Now, we've got a weekly average attendance of 70 people. On team, we currently have 37 people listed on being on a team. That's awesome. That is really awesome. Now, I want to bless you guys with this next statement, okay? On team, we have 37 people listed. That's 54% of our weekly average number of people who are listed on being on a team. The weekly average, or the average, is 20 to 30%. We're at 54%. That's awesome. All right, now that's if I've understood these things correctly. But that's really good, right? So let's keep going, all right? So the UK national average is 20 to 30%. We're at 54%, but with a 19 to 20% weekly service. Okay, so while there's 54% listed on a team, there's 19, 20, 21% people serving on a Sunday morning. That's awesome. Okay, so for the church congregation size that we are, we're doing incredibly well with our engagement, our interaction with the life of the church. So I want to say to each of you, well done. Well done. And thank you. All right? No one gets paid for doing this Sunday morning, not even me. All right, and I'm the pastor. So we're all volunteers and we all serve together and we're all serving God in doing what we're doing. Amen? So this is all an act of love. Everything. Which is awesome. Amen? Amen. That's awesome. Let's go to the next slide, please. So you may or may not know that the slogan or the ethos of Family Church as a whole is to reach, to grow, and empower. This is the kind of underlying statement of everything that we do. It will either be to reach, to grow, or to empower. And that kind of is articulated in a bunch of different ways. But that's the emphasis. Now, you can see a breakdown of what we've looked at for the last few months here. And then we've got the next few months. So I want to share with you some stuff that's on my heart for the next few months. Is that okay? So we're looking forward. Now, I was going to really kind of press, and I didn't want to fill out the year just for the sake of it. I didn't want to just put stuff in there. I was like, no, I'm not going to do that, Lord. If you're giving me 3 months at a time, then let's do 3 months at a time. I'm not going to force myself to make something up just so it looks full. I'm going to make sure that I'm hearing from God. So with this, so January, this next month, we're looking at, we're going to be extending the storage of what we're having. And this is all kind of just stuff that's in my head, okay? So please forgive me if it sounds really kind of pointless in mentioning it. But we're also going to have, so we're going to have more storage available to us. We're also going to have, hopefully, a second kids church group, which we're going to start, hopefully, in the new year. I'm making plans for that in my head. And then I'll look at, see how far we get with that in January, February time. We're looking at discipleship a lot more. Now, a while ago, you may have seen that I put a message out on the groups asking for if anyone wanted to be discipled. Now, I didn't get much of a response, and that's okay. I'm not looking for people to be bombarding me with text messages about it. That's fine. We're going to look at that a little bit this morning, and we're going to look at what that looks like. Now, with discipleship itself, it's not for everybody. Everyone can be a believer. Anyone can be a believer. But not everyone would be a disciple. And those are different. And so what we want to look at in the church is, how many disciples do we have? What is a disciple? What is a disciple doing? How is a disciple growing? And we're going to look at that whole thing a lot more clearer. And so we're going to be looking at getting the Welcome Home course started in January as well, just as a sort of a resource for people. So if you are new to the church or born again recently, then we'll go into the classroom or the office space there. And during the service, you'll go through that Welcome Home course, which will then talk about all the fundamental doctrines of Family Church and what we believe. Okay? Is that good? Is everyone with me? All right. And that course ends with baptism of the Holy Spirit and also baptism in water. So it's a full, nicely, really, really rounded course. Also, we're going to be looking at the leadership of Family Church Waterlooville. We're going to do a review and make sure that we're all currently updating what we're doing. We don't want people in positions just for the sake of it. We want people in positions because they're doing a good job and they're doing the job that they need to be doing. Okay? So that's the purpose of leadership. We don't want anyone in a position by name alone. That's not right for anybody. Okay? So let's make sure that doesn't happen and we don't grow stagnant in that area. Also, Connect Group in January starts in Waterlooville, which is exciting as well. February, we're going to expand the leadership team. That's my heart. I want to grow the leadership team, which means it's going to include more of you, and it's going to include more of the life of the church, which you've seen on the screen already. We're going to begin to do more work with the young adults, and we're going to also start to establish a pastoral support network. So this, or pastoral support team, this is my plan and heart for the beginning of next year, maybe February, March time. We're going to continue to become sharing the overall vision for FAB. We're going to be, while there's been that changeover in leadership from senior pastor, Pastor Andy Elms, to Pastor Stu and Carla, we're going to look at that and the vision that they've got. That's going to be communicated to us as a whole March time. And then we're going to be looking at the senior leadership and how that affects and changes what we do here. Or if it doesn't, probably won't very much. And it's just the heartbeat that's being communicated through. Also, I would like to begin a third connect group. So what I would like to do is create a connect group every other month. That's my goal. Now, is that going to happen? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I'm not going to put a burden on anybody to make it happen, and I'm not going to force it if it's not God. But what we want to do is have a clear vision of where we want to head. Okay? So next year, January, connect group. Welcome home course. March, another connect group. Okay? So let's go to the next slide, please. If we've got 70 people in our congregation, and if it stays as 70 people, if we have 10 groups, 100% of the people are going to be cared for throughout the week. All right? That's what we could aim for. 7 groups of 10 people, 10 groups of 7 people, however you want to look at that. But that's the idea. Okay? All right, so let's skip forward to a couple. Let's go straight through to discipleship, guys. So keep flicking through, please. There you go. Fantastic. Thank you very much. Okay, so let's have a look at discipleship. Let's have a look at what that means. Because in the life of the church and in the life of a believer, there needs to be disciples. Now, my heart is to raise up leaders, to train leaders, to get people really growing in their walk with God and with each other. So let's have a look at the first slide for this piece. Thank you. So I've split this discipleship up into different sections. Number one, we've got morality. 2, gifting. 3, self-development. 4, leadership development. 5, spirituality. And 6, influence. So all of these are different areas of what I would consider discipleship to be. And now we've got different programs within the life of Family Church that will address each of these issues or these topics. Let's go to the next one, please. So morality will look at things like making the right choices, relationships, protecting your gates. Now you think, what's protecting my gates? Your heart is a city. All right, the Bible refers to your heart as a city, and your city has gates. It has your eye gates, has your ear gates, and it has your mouth. So what comes out reflects what's inside. What goes in, okay, reflects what's going on the inside. So if your heart is a city, then your city has gates that you need to protect. It's because you also need to protect what's coming out as much as what you protect going in. We're going to be looking at integrity. So come back this way. Fantastic, cool. We're going to look at integrity. Now, something that has been lacking in leadership around the world is integrity. Doing what you said you would do. Yeah, we don't get a very good example of it in a lot of spheres of leadership. You know, you may have noticed recently within our leadership of this nation, people generally don't do what they say they're going to do, or they do something completely different. Whichever way you want to look at it, there's not always a great example of that. So we want to make sure that we are people of integrity, that we do what we said we would do. Also, we're going to look at marriage, and we'll look at parenthood as well. So that's kind of some of the stuff that goes on under morality. Let's go to the next one, please. Now, next slide, guys. Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong screen. I'm sorry. I'm looking at this thinking this is going to change, and it's not. I've got to swipe this one. Sorry. That's my fault. Sorry. Thanks, Alvin. Now, a lot of people, when they look at discipleship, they think, okay, my gift. How can I grow my gift? That's kind of the focus of discipleship a lot of the time. But first of all, you can't grow your gift until you know what your gift is. So what is your gift? What is it that God has put on the inside of you? Do you know? Or are you still discovering it? Because God has designed you, He's designed your personality in such a way that you're going to automatically connect with one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit quite naturally. Okay? So it's our job as pastors, leaders, and mentors to be able to discern what that is and help you discover what that is, so then we can begin to grow that in you, so you can begin to be functional in that gifting. Okay? So what is a gift? What is your gift? How do you use it? When should you use it? Your gift under authority and your gift in authority. Those are two different things, okay? So a lot of people think that if they've got a gift that gives them the right to use it whenever they want, not necessarily true. There is an operation that happens under authority and there's an operation that happens in authority. And whatever your gifting is, it's important that we understand that so we remain submitted in authority. Does that make sense? Yeah, because that means that we stay humble, we keep ourselves away from pride, we keep ourselves away from being unaccountable for things, all right, so it keeps us safe. So being under authority and in authority are both very important things to understand. Next one, please. Self-development. Now, this isn't like kind of the self-motivation, self-help type stuff. This is something a little bit different, but I do want to make sure that we're growing people in confidence. We want people to be more confident. We want people to be more able to do things that they didn't think they would do, and also contain and hold more responsibility. So this coming year, what we would love to be able to do is say that we've been able to train a whole bunch of people to be more responsible, have more people of action. That's what I was trying to say, but I wasn't forming the sentence correctly, sorry. And also we're going to look at people's capacity. Now, one thing that I talk about quite often with people is, what is your capacity? Because it's important that we understand what our capacity is. Because what happens is, if we don't understand what our capacity is, we will overcommit and let people down. And so in that aspect, even though you've got a good heart, you end up living out of your apology because you're constantly letting people down because you overcommit. And then what happens is you let yourself down, or you beat yourself up, or you condemn yourself, and then you overcommit again because you're trying to make up for the letting people down, and then the cycle continues. So what we want to do is say, stop. Stop. Stop it. Stop. We want people to protect their capacity. Okay? That doesn't mean start saying no to a whole bunch of stuff that you don't need to say no to. No, it means that you become aware. that this is what happens when my life is full. This is what it looks like when my life is full. And these are the symptoms of when I'm burning out. So it's just understanding how we function. I know that if I'm at maximum, okay, that I will start to forget an awful lot. Okay? Generally, that's how I know that that's when I've got too much going on, because I forget too much. Silly little thing. Everyone forgets stuff. Yeah, it is. It's a silly little thing. But for me, it's a little red flag. That means I've got too much going on, so I either need to evaluate what I'm doing or reorganize what I'm doing. Okay, so we want to make sure that everyone has identifies what their capacity is. I don't want everyone to give 100% if you can only give me 20. But if you can give me 20%, let's see if you can give me 100% of that 20%. Does that make sense? Yeah? So this is how we work together. This is how we all become a team. This is how we operate and how we become really effective with what we're able to do instead of letting people down for what we can't do. Does that make sense? Yeah? Cool. All right. So this is a little bit of a leadership talk, okay? So we're looking at responsibility. We're looking at capacity. We're also looking at boundaries. Boundaries are super important, not just in ministry, but also in life. It is really important that we identify where those boundaries are. Now, we've already begun to talk about protecting our gates. I don't know why I pointed that way. There's no one there. Anyway, it's been a long week. It's important that we protect those boundaries. If you're married, you need to have boundaries. Amen? Otherwise, you could not be married for very long if you don't protect those boundaries. Those boundaries are important. That's just one area of life. But those principles carry all the way across. We need boundaries. We need to know when to say no, and we need to know when to say yes. Okay? Now, one thing I said to someone recently is if we don't start saying no to something, some people are people pleasers. I'm a bit of a people pleaser. All right? I try not to be, but that's by default how I can sometimes operate. So I need to make sure that I've got enough confidence within myself to be able to say no. And it's not no out of hostility. It's no out of protecting the boundaries. It's no out of protecting the capacity. Because I know that if I say yes, I'll either do a bad job or let them down. And I don't want to do a bad job or let them down. I want to do a good job because I want to honor them or honor God. Is this making sense to people? Yeah, this is just common sense stuff. But when it comes down to protecting our boundaries, it's important because we need to know when to say no. But also at the same time, if you don't say no to some things, things will start saying no to you. If you say yes to everything, it won't be long before things start saying no to you. So it's important that we recognize that. Also, we're going to be looking at sacrifice. In leadership and in discipleship, there's always a place of sacrifice. Well, how does sacrifice connect with boundaries? How does sacrifice connect with capacity? How can we justify talking about sacrifice if we're also talking about these other two areas? Because it's all done out of faith and it's all done out of wisdom. Okay? If you have reached a point in your life and your walk with God where you know what your capacity is, and then you know what your boundaries are and how to protect that capacity, but then God says, I want you to do this, and it's going to cause you to be uncomfortable, and it's going to cause you to stretch, and it's going to cause you to step out of your capacity and out of your boundaries, you're going to then enter into a place called sacrifice, because now you're giving what you didn't think you could, you're going to give out of what you didn't think you had, and now you're going to begin to operate in a new sphere called sacrifice, which is where we begin to draw from God more and more and more. Amen? Now, if we never enter into a place of sacrifice and always stay in the place of capacity and boundaries, that area there, if we live there, is called comfort. That area there is called convenience. It's important that as leaders and as disciples, we then begin to move into that place of sacrifice so we can grow our capacity and grow our boundaries. Does that make sense? Cool. Fantastic. Now, I know this is a little bit of a different topic this morning, but I feel like it's important. Okay. And then also, we're going to look at faithfulness as well. So this is all part of our development as people, as Christians, as leaders. And let's go to the next slide, please. And that brings us on to leadership development. So we're going to be looking at how we manage our time, how we are disciplined, how we are servant-hearted. I spelled servant wrong. And how we delegate, and how we submit to each other, and how we communicate. All these things are very important things for leaders to have. It's all stuff we expect from people. Yeah? Whether we realize it or not, we expect this from our leaders. Amen? But what we don't often do is expect this from ourselves. So it's important that we understand that this isn't just something that we can put onto someone else, but it's actually something that we need to do ourselves as well. And let's go to the next slide, please. This one here is spirituality, but you've lost the title at the top there. That's fine. So it's important that we understand within spirituality, within family church, within leadership, within discipleship, we understand prayer, the different functions of prayer, how prayer works, how we should pray, why we should pray. We then look at evangelism. How do we evangelize? When should we evangelize? Why should we evangelize? Accountability. Why is accountability important? Why is it important? It's important because if no one is accountable, then everyone can have a completely different life to the one they show you. That's the easiest way for me to sum that up. It's important to be accountable because we don't want people walking around with a life that no one sees that's completely different to the one they do. Amen? Cool. That goes back to the integrity thing. Faith. How important is faith in spirituality? Very. If faith is important to you as a spiritual person, then we need to learn as much about it as we can. Amen? Now, I want to just encourage you really quickly with this thought. Who thinks they've got, well, let me ask the question, who thinks they've got big faith? Anybody? Who thinks they've got small faith? All right, people are a little bit shy this morning, that's okay. All right. Now, in the middle, who thinks they've got medium, okay-sized faith? Yeah, right, okay. If we replaced the word faith with this, instead of saying, do you have big faith, say, do you have a good perspective of God? Do we have little faith? Do we have a bad perspective of God? Because often the faith size is not the issue. Just forget that, because the Bible says the faith as small as a mustard seed can move mountains. So we know that size is not the problem, right? But let's replace that with, do we have a good perspective of God or a bad perspective of God? Do we have an increasingly healthy, strong, dynamic perspective of our good Father, or do we have a small, stingy, negative viewpoint or perspective of God? And so it's important that we understand these things as leaders and as we understand these things as people, so as we move forward in faith, we're walking in a positive, dynamic understanding, having a good perspective of who God is. Wisdom is really important. Wisdom is really important, amen? Now, you've got 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. There's 31 days in the week, month, mostly, most of the time. That's one chapter per day, all year round. It's important to get those Proverbs into us as much as physically possible, because that's where the pursuit of wisdom is born, and that is where we will see wisdom come in. If anyone lacks wisdom, just ask God for it, and he'll give it to you generously without reproach. He's not going to hold anything back from you. So if you ask God for wisdom, he's going to give it to you. But if you don't want wisdom, guess what? Don't ask for it. And he won't give it to you. Sometimes we want God to give us an instant download because we're so used to pressing the button on the screen that we think that's how it's going to come by God. God says, no, what happens is you have to open up your Bible, go to the book of wisdom, pursue my heart in wisdom, pursue the word, and then I will give you wisdom on top of what it is that you're reading. So I'll give you the Logos, and then I'll provide the Rhema on top. So what God says, you've got the written word, which is the Logos, and then I'll give you the Rhema, which is God breathing on his word to create life inside of you, which means the Bible you're reading becomes part of who you are. Amen? Is everybody okay this morning? And then finally, the other topic that we've got there on leadership development or spirituality, is understanding the anointing. The anointing is the positioning. It's when you've been positioned by God in Christ. You've been positioned by the Father in the Son, hidden in him, and he's been hidden in you. You've been made one spirit with the Lord. He's been connected to you. As you've been born again, resurrected to newness of life, you've been placed in him, and you've been hidden in him. So now we understand that we've been positioned righteously, seated on the throne with Christ in heavenly places, so we have been anointed and appointed to carry out the good works of the gospel. Does everyone believe that? Does anyone want me to say it again? Listen to the recording. I'm not saying that again. Praise God. So it's important, guys, that we learn how to move forward in these areas. Influence. Let's go to the next one. Let's finish off with this. Okay? So, influence. Are you leading someone or are you just going for a walk? If you're not, if no one is following you, you're not leading, you're just going for a walk. Volume is not about volume versus being heard. You can scream and shout, but if no one's listening, it doesn't matter how loud you speak. And it's important that if we're understanding or if we're, I missed a section there. It kind of blended into two sections. I don't know why. But this is what we want to say. When you're in a position of influence, it's important that you are listening. Listening to the people around you, but also listening to the Holy Spirit. Whenever I'm speaking to someone, I have one ear listening to the person I'm talking to and one ear listening to the Holy Spirit, because it's important that we understand the voice of the Holy Ghost, but also it's important that we are listening to wisdom about someone's situation. And often what I find is when I'm talking to someone, the issue that they're sharing with me is not the main issue. And so what the Holy Spirit will do is he'll highlight the real issue so we can deal with the real issue so the issue that's being talked about gets sorted. Okay? This is what the Holy Spirit does. Teams. It's important that if you are in a position of influence that you understand how teams work, how to lead teams, how to be in a team. And also, if you're in a position of influence, it's important to understand your weaknesses. Now, we live in a kind of a high-flying society sometimes where people think, I've got no weaknesses, I'm super strong all the time, I'm amazing, and they do that kind of self-declaration thing every day. That's fine if you want to do that. I live in the real world, and I recognize that I've got weaknesses. And if I've got weaknesses, that means that I can position people around my life and I can draw people close to me and have a team of people that are strong where I'm weak. So I'm not the one who's trying to do it all on my own, but rather I've got together a team of people like Claire and Sinead are great helps with me with admin, right? I'm terrible admin. Well, I'm not terrible. Well, I am terrible. I hate it. All right? I'm terrible at admin. I don't like it. I'm not good at it. It takes me forever, but Sinead and Claire are really good at being a help to me in that area. So for me, it makes sense to me. If I want to be good at what I'm good at, I need to have people come in and be a team with me for the areas where I'm not. Does that make sense? This is really common sense stuff. This is really normal stuff. But for some reason, a whole chunk of people miss it. So what we want to make sure of is as we're discipling people and as we're mentoring people, we need to make sure that everyone is developing in the same way, in the same sort of process, so they can be as successful as they can and grow as much as they can. So when we talk about discipleship, this is all the stuff that's on our heart. Now, when Jesus turned up to the disciples, he said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They didn't get a PowerPoint. Right? They didn't get a PowerPoint. They said, okay. And they followed him. And for the next 3.5 years, they saw signs, wonders, the miraculous. They saw power. They saw all kinds of things. Then they saw him crucified and resurrected from the dead. And then they spent the rest of their lives doing what they had been shown to do. Amen. It's so important, guys, that we understand the dynamics of discipleship, not just because we've seen a PowerPoint, but because we're willing to say yes. How much time will it take me? I don't know. How much time will I have to give up? I don't know. What's going to ask me to do? I don't know. Are we going to have theology classes? No, probably not. I don't know. But all I'm saying is this, if we have a heart that says yes, God says, okay, now let's go. Now, I can provide structure and we can create that structure and we can provide that level of safety and understanding concerning what it all means, but ultimately, you're not my disciple, you're his. Amen? But can you imagine what church would look like if every single person said, I'm going to be a disciple? Amen? We'd be unstoppable. We go from being an attendee church where we turn up and go home to being disciples. What do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do? I'm here Sunday morning, 8:30. What do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do? What can I do? What can I put my hands to? Okay. So let's go to the next one, please, and let's finish off here this morning. All right? So what are we going to do next? Go next slide, please, as well, buddy. Thank you very much. Ephesians chapter 6 says this in verse 13. It says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when in the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after doing everything to stand, stand firm. Then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. When was the last time you tied your shoes? Now, there are shoes for leisure. There are shoes to go out in. And there's shoes for readiness. Now, I'm wearing my shoes for readiness this morning. These are my fancy, smart kind of birthday present shoes where they're ready for anything. But there's different shoes for different reasons. Unless you're in the Philippines, and then they've got slippers for everything. They use flip-flops everywhere. Like, you ever seen anyone play basketball, like full-on game of basketball wearing flip-flops? It's amazing. Go to the Philippines. It's incredible. But other than the Philippines, if you're in any other place, there's different shoes for different reasons. And what I want to ask you this morning is, when was the last time you tied your shoes? Because according to my Bible here, it says that your feet are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Because if you don't tie your shoes to your feet, if you don't secure your shoes, the peace is going to come off. On your journey, you're walking around doing whatever you're doing, and the peace is going to leave you because you've not secured yourself in the peace. You see, the thing is, we need to first establish where we are, establish what we're doing, establish where we're going, and say, yes, Lord, secure ourselves in that place of peace that comes from the readiness of the gospel of peace. And we say, okay, now I can go. Now I'm ready. But if we don't do that, what happens is we go on our journey and then the shoes come off and we lose our peace and then we stop. And then we get burnt out or we get offended, or we get upset, or we get disgruntled, or we get agitated, or something happens because we didn't carry the peace with us, because we didn't secure ourselves at the beginning, but rather we got distracted by where we wanted to go instead of establishing ourselves first. It's great to know where you want to go, but if you're not established first, you won't get far. Right? We need to establish ourselves. We need to make sure we're ready. We've got the readiness. We're ready. We're ready to go. We're secured. Now we go. We go. We're on our journey now. And the journey will be much longer, much more fruitful, and much quicker because you've secured yourself in the place that God wants you to be. Have you tied your shoes this morning? Have you secured yourself in the peace of God? Have you secured yourself in the readiness of the gospel? Ready to go and be where God wants you to be and do what God wants you to do. You see, it's important, church, for every single one of us to be carriers of that peace, to be secured in that peace, to be anchored in that peace. So when all hell breaks loose, it doesn't matter because we are anchored in Him, secured in His presence. So when we go, we know we're going with Him. Amen? But if we don't tie our shoes, it won't be long before our journey is cut short. I don't want you guys, I don't want us to lose traction on our journey because we didn't tie our shoes. Ask the person next to you. It's time to tie your shoes. Ask them, have you tied your shoes now? Let's stand to our feet this morning and let's pray. Everyone just close your eyes with me and just put yourself into a posture of worship right now, whatever that looks like for you. Is this a place of comfort for you? Or is this a place of stretch? Is this a place that you're familiar with? This posture of worship that you're in right now, is this your normal? I want to encourage you this morning that whatever your posture is right now, that you begin to interact with your God on a very real level. Understanding that He's called you to exist in His peace. At the beginning of last week, I was presented with the possibility of needing to move house before Christmas with no money and nowhere to go. In the middle of this week, I was offered £9,000 to be able to do that. God knows what you need. I can't tell you how He's going to meet your needs. I can't tell you when. But if everything else fails, trust in His nature, which is good. Just speak to the Lord this morning. Say, God, You are good. God, You are good. Jesus, I thank You for this morning, Lord. That no matter what situation we're in, we can trust in Your nature, which is good. Big faith, small faith, Lord, whatever. Lord, I pray that we have a good perspective of who You are and what You're able to do. Jesus, I thank You. Just while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, let's pray this prayer together. Dear Lord Jesus, thank You that You died for me. Thank You for all the good things You've done in my life. I thank You that You've forgiven me. You've taken away my sin and my shame. you've made me new. Jesus, come into my life. I surrender it to you. Jesus, I call you Lord. I call you Savior. I call you friend. Right now, while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, if that's you this morning and you've prayed that prayer and you've come back to God, you've been away from God, or you've been ignoring God and you're saying, no more, I'm done now, I'm here, I'm present, Lord, here I am, I'm yours. If that's you this morning, I want you just to lift your hand when I count to three. Ready? One, two, three. If that's you this morning, you'll say, God, here I am, I'm back, this is me. Just lift your hand this morning if you're giving your heart to the Lord afresh today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Okay, for everybody else, Lord God, I just thank you right now. Everyone just lift your hands with me this morning. Lord God, I celebrate and I thank you for what you're doing in Waterlooville. I thank you for what you're doing in every family, every household. I thank you for what you're doing in this congregation and in this church. Lord God, I thank you for the hearts of your people which are saying, yes, here I am. What do you want me to do? Lord, I thank you for the community that you're building in this house. So Lord God, I thank you for everything you've done and everything you're doing and everything you're going to do. Right now, I place a hedge of fire around every house, every home, every family. In the name of Jesus. A hedge of fire, a hedge of protection. No wicked plan of the enemy shall come to pass at the sight of the blood of the Lamb in Jesus' name. Lord God, I thank you that right now there is protection around every household, every home, every job. Lord God, I thank you that there is the anointing of God in their home, Lord God, right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for peace in this season. That while we remember the reason for the season, which is you, Lord, I thank you for peace that provides readiness so we can go and be where you want us to be and do what you want us to do. Lord, I thank you for peace in this time. Even if we don't understand what's going on, we can't make sense of it. It's all going wrong. Whatever it is, Lord God, whatever it is that we're facing, Lord, I thank you. Then in everything else, Lord, we can trust in your nature, which is good. Lord, I pray that word peace this morning. Peace. Shalom, peace, body, soul, spirit. Shalom. That's what that word means. It means peace in your body, peace in your mind, peace in your spirit. Shalom, peace, wholeness. When Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, there was the storm that hit the boat. The storm hit the boat, but the boat did not sink. The reason why the boat did not sink was because Jesus was in the boat. You see, the storm might be going on around you right now. You may not be able to know which way is north, east, south, or west. But Lord, the God is with you in the midst of the storm. And God says this, do not fear. Do not be of little faith. Instead, he stands and he looks at the storm and he says, peace, be still. Lord, I thank you that this next week will be a peaceful week. I thank you this week will be a week that is marked by your presence and your goodness. Ready? Catch this, everybody. Catch this. Unexpected mercy. Unexpected mercy. Unexpected mercy. I don't know why, but that's just dropped in my heart this week. Unexpected mercy. Mercy means you don't get what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Unexpected mercy. And an expectation of his grace. If you're claiming that this morning, say amen. If you're claiming the favor of God this week, say amen. Amen. If you're claiming the protection of heaven this week, say amen. Amen. If you're thanking God for his presence this morning, say amen. Amen. Let's have an amazing week. God bless you. Let's spend time together this afternoon, coffee. God bless everyone. Thank you.